from the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
We are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. This is the Dugout Podcast, live looking versus the Mets. Episode BleedBlueShow.com is our website, audio archives. Episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. Pardon my voice, I feel a little hoarse, a little bit under the weather. I'm going to try to get through this episode as quickly and efficient as possible. The website is updated for the upcoming episodes this week, so I'm going to have some fun ones for you guys to listen to. So definitely share what you can, share with your stakeholders, share with the fellow fans, man. I mean, this is what we do. We're everyday fans. We talk sports. We share our thoughts and opinions for audience so you guys can listen and bring it on the go. And all we do is ask for a share, man. And that's pretty much what it is with the all the content that we do here on the Bleed Blue Show. Getting ready. Let's see. As far as what the Yankees did. Actually, let me talk to the other teams real quick. Real quick plug. Last week's episode talking the Giants, the episode after the Browns preseason game is up there on the website from last Thursday. We had a good dialogue. Shout out to the stakeholders on that episode as well. Talking Knicks basketball last week with Hardaway Jr. And then, of course, now we got the NBA schedule that came out. We'll be discussing that on Wednesday on Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum along with Emmanuel Mudiay. All right, and then, of course, on Tuesday, we normally would do the Giants, but we're going to do things a little bit different. RP, shout-out to RP. We're going to do a 2.0 version of Die Hard Fan 2.0. It's been a while. We haven't done one of those in a hot minute. So we're going to up it to Die Hard Fan 2.0 this week. So hopefully you guys enjoy what makes up a Die Hard Fan 2.0. I haven't done one of those in a while, so... we're looking at this thing with the Yankees. The Yankees, it's not that the Yankees, like, it's probably going to be a broken record almost when I say this. I said this last week. It's not that they're playing bad, because they're actually having a very good season. It's just that up until this point, Boston has just been that much better. But the Yankees are, what, 30 games over 500, which in almost any season it would be a hell of a season at this point in mid-August. But the Boston Red Sox, who are ahead of them, and find ways to win. They lost that last week. They lost the game in Toronto. But they came back down several runs to the Orioles and really had a slugfest with those guys and winning every game in those series. They're 50 games over 500. So, I mean, that's just a damn crime. And the bad thing about this, or unfortunate thing about this, is the Yankees being up 30 games over 500, the team that's the best team in Major League is in your division. And that means you're in the wild card spot no matter what. So almost damn near 10 games behind first place. That is a lot of ground to make up with just a month and a half. The division is pretty much over. I think Boston is clicking, and they won a lot of those games without Chris Sale, and we got to see him pitch over the weekend versus the Baltimore Orioles. 50 games over 500 by mid-August is some record pace type of shit, man. We are not catching Boston. So the best thing is to prepare yourself. Yankees have to get better within themselves. They can't scoreboard watch. They can't standings chase. They got to play within the game. They got to focus on the individual games they have, the task ahead. I give them last week's performance was an A-. I thought they should have swept the Texas Rangers. The game on Friday was a letdown game, and that was unfortunate that they gave up a lot of those runs. And now we know CC Sabathia is on an injury list, going to be on the 10-day disabled list. I thought this was the part of the homestand, or especially the homestand, but stretch of games. If you want to count the three games in Chicago versus the White Sox, they swept them. They did what they needed to do. You got some good hitting in that game, including an extra inning game with a big clutch hits by Miguel Andujar. But I thought with this situation, the Yankees they could have went on a double-digit win streak. Not to say this is all about catching Boston. This was for their own morale. Winning, you know, they're still winning series. 3 out of 4 versus the Texas Rangers is still good. That's still serviceable. In this type of season where the team ahead of you is kind of just running through everybody except the team you play. I mean, they did run through the Yankees. They swept them in the last series. So they kind of got one up on us right now. But as far as the Yankees thing, 3 out of 4 versus Texas is good. I thought I wanted to sweep. I personally wanted to sweep versus the Red Sox. I mean, not the Red Sox, but the Texas Rangers. So you got the makeup game versus the Mets. And then you have several other games after that. I mean, within the division, you got Tampa Bay. I believe Baltimore's in there as well. So, I mean, these are some games for your own morale. I mean, you try to get the hitting as best as you possibly can. Miguel Andujar, after the All-Star break, has hit the best on this team as far as batting average after the All-Star break. He's done his job. I thought he's had some good hits, clutch hits. Didi Gregorius with a key home run over the weekend, especially in that fifth inning. That was a solid, solid fifth inning by the Yankees because I thought you saw a little bit of everything. One of the biggest critiques I have on the New York Yankees this season was about them manufacturing runs. It seemed like a lot of the runs, even just go back to the last couple of series, the White Sox and the Rangers, Texas Rangers. Everything is home run or bust with this team, for the most part. A lot of it is home run or bust. The Yankees are not getting runs off of home runs. It's like they leave a lot of guys on base. But Sunday's game wasn't that. You saw a couple of guys driving some runs. Aaron Hicks had a nice single up to center field, a bloop single to center field to get a run home. Some of the guys going opposite field, going with the pitches, against the shift. So I like someone to approach what I saw on Sunday, and they really blew that thing open when, you know, just going away. It got a little weird with the bullpen, and I'll talk a little bit about that later. It got a little bit weird with Chapman, and you saw Britton struggles earlier in the series versus the Rangers as well. So all of a sudden, what looked like a dominant bullpen on paper, which is still having a very good season. Let's not kid ourselves. It's still a good season. But the back end of the bullpen, not named Dylan Patances, a lot of those guys kind of struggled, and that includes Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray came into the game on Sunday, and he gave up back-to-back hits, doubles, back-to-back innings. I thought he would have been in a good position of long relief, and he just mentally is just not there, man, throwing a lot of meatballs on the plate, and guys are taking it down the line on Sonny Gray. I'll get to the bullpen in a minute. I just wanted to focus on the hitting first. But how about Giancarlo Stanton? I thought, the guy is hovering around about 280 at about now, and where he was at the beginning of the season, 210, 220? He really, really turned it around, man. He really, hitting-wise, leads the team in hits. He's going opposite field. Even the game on Thursday, the down-the-line home run down the right field line, and he's hitting for all parts of the park. He's going to right center. He's roping balls to left center at exit velocities are bananas with the advanced stat cast crap with Giancarlo Stanton. I mean, he's going to all parts of the park, and he's kind of helping to try to carry this team to the moment Aaron Judge gets back, because we know that he won't see fade back to his full self until at least mid-September with that wrist, because that thing was everything getting hit by the pitch versus the Kansas City Royals on that Thursday. So on the hitting wise, Neil Walker has hit the ball well over the series versus the Texas Rangers. He's homering from both sides of the plate, right, left. He had a double, also add on a double. He's shown to hit the ball very well yesterday as well. And I talked about Didi Gregorius, his rope home run that really blew it wide open, the extra insurance runs to seal the deal versus the Texas Rangers. Gardner had a big home run also over the weekend. His average is definitely still not where it needs to be, don't get me wrong, but just the hits, the quality of hits, and Aaron Hicks has shown the professionalism, a poor man Bernie Williams, getting on base, driving in runs, doesn't have to go for all the home runs, and he's done his job hitting the baseball as well. Gleyber Torres, another guy, big home run as well over the weekend, so you get a contribution from pretty much everybody. Miguel Andujar with a huge home run as well. I mean, like I said, it's a lot of home runs, but what really impressed me was the manufacturing of the runs in that fifth inning on Sunday versus Texas. That really, really showed me that they could put, if they could string that a lot of that more together at the plate, you could really put a lot of pressure on opposing pitchers, because once this home run or bust, it's pretty much all she wrote. Whether you're going to be 30 games over 500, 50 games over 500, 10 games over 500. So my thing is with this, man, let the bats continue to do what they do. They scored a lot of runs. Even the game they lost on Friday where they gave up a lot of runs, the started pitching, the middle innings, they were atrocious after CeCe came out of the game. Just got to do better, man. Just a lot they show that they could still come back late, but even down, 12-5? It was something like that, 12-3, 12-5. You don't want a bad team like that. They are in last place in the AL West. And they should. There was no business of them having 12 runs in your home ballpark the way they did. So that was my only gripe with the New York Yankees. And now I don't know how the knee is going to be for CeCe Sabathia coming off inflammation of his knee, because that's kind of almost similar to what Chapman had. He saw his struggles with his the way he pitched off the rubber, off the top of the mound, all of his motion. A lot of that pressing. CeCe's a bigger guy, more weight. Got to be sure you take care of that knee specifically well. So you saw Lynn come into the game, and I thought Lynn showed some good moments when he had his pitch in versus Texas at home. Tanaka, like I said, he's a hit-or-miss type of guy. He'll give up a meatball. If he's pitching well, he'll give up one of those meatballs. But all we got to do is keep that slider down for him, and it would be all she wrote when it comes to Masahiro Tanaka. Now, let me say this before I get to the bullpen. This makeup game versus the Mets, I treat this thing like if it was a one-game series. I know just one game of makeup versus the Mets from earlier this season, several weeks ago when they were at Yankee Stadium and they had the rain out. But I'm treating this thing as a one-game series because I look at it, and I shouldn't have, but I should, in the sense of I look at it as beat them, win the one-game series, lose, you lose the one-game series. You got to take advantage of a team that's trying to find its way. I think they're either in fourth or fifth place in the NL East. They're not having a good season. They're struggling to find runs. I know the Mets, when they come to Yankee Stadium or when the Yankees go to Citi Field, either or, that they're always going to want to get up for that game because it's a New York versus New York deal. It's New York Mets versus New York Yankees. I mean, we've seen a million of these Subway Series, and I'm kind of quite tired of it myself. But when it comes to this type of game, I just think, the Mets are going to show pride. I mean, they're a proud team in a new way. They're going to show pride no matter what. But I think that in this sense, I mean, of course they want to win this one-game series. Oh, this one game, makeup game, because this is the last game they're going to play of this season. And I know, not to say it's bragging rights, but they just want to say, the last time we played you guys, we did have to win. And I think that's how the Mets are going to be looking at it, man. I think that's how they're going to approach this game versus the New York Yankees. Now, as far as the bullpen, it really causes for concern, especially with Sonny Gray. Robertson to an extent, but it's definitely Sonny Gray, and he is mentally lost. You saw him in this as a starter, like one game below 500. I think he was 8-9, but his ERA was way out of this world, extremely high, approaching 6, and that's definitely not good for a major league starting pitcher. But I thought when it came to Sonny Gray, that in the sense of him moving to the bullpen, I believe that he was going to at least turn it around. I'm placing too much stock into Sonny Gray, because I said even at the start of the series or the regular season, spring training, I thought he was going to have a good year. I thought after a full off season, after the trade from the Athletics, I thought he was going to come in, settle in more, adjust to the New York pressure, and it pitched better than he did last year, and which has actually been worse. And I'm not exactly sure. I think it's more so the confidence, the mental makeup of him not getting the job done, man. I think he struggles with that. Inning to inning. A lot of these teams are getting the best of him, as far as hitting the baseball, and he just looks very, very uncomfortable. At first, when he was pitching as a starter, it was all about working the pitch count. It was working about It was about his timing of his economics of his pitches, the timing of his pitches. He took his time too much. Maybe he was overthinking some of that. So you talk about Sonny Gray. We saw Britton's struggles over the weekend versus Texas. I thought when he first came, he had a nice outing versus the Kansas City Royals on a Thursday night in the opening game in that series. Then he had a couple of series. He gave up one earned run versus Kansas City, I believe, on Saturday. But then since then, he's been kind of down, man. He's just been in and out, man. It's been really hard to pick up on this as well, man, with this pitching. He definitely had to turn it around. Chapman as well. Both of, especially their both bona fide closers, Britton for like at least 2 to 3 years with the Orioles, and Chapman the last several years, Cincinnati Reds, Chicago Cubs, New York Yankees. So Chapman has got to definitely turn it around. Britton, the whole back end of the bullpen, not Dane Dellis, but Tanzan, he'll have a couple of wild pitches here and there. But I think Higgins Shaka and then, of course, Austin Romine, those guys catching up. They do catch better games. They call better games than Gary Sanchez. And I think one of those guys get up, we'll see how that goes. Now, now we're looking at this live looking versus the Mets. Severino is another guy who's been somewhat on the decline. Struggles. I wouldn't say decline, but definitely struggles. He had a hot first half of the season, one of the best pitchers in the AL. You could put him up against Justin Verlander. You could put him up against Charlie Morton from the Astros. Corey Kluber or Chris Sale from the Boston Red Sox. Severino had that type of impact for the New York Yankees. Even then, I was kind of on the fence of where he would be. I thought he dodged a lot of trouble in Chicago this past series. He went down 2-0 early on in the game, and the Yankees came back. Got those two runs back, and they gave him a lot of insurance runs, and he settled down very, very much so. But the signs of giving up a lot of early runs early in the game is a huge concern for me when it comes to Severino. I saw the game in person at the Bronx when they played Kansas City on Saturday, the Saturday home game, and he didn't look right in that game. He gave up a lot of doubles down the line. A lot of pitches are right in the zone where his balls are not having a lot of break in it, per se. So that's definitely a guy he got to get back on pace as far as a starting role, a starting pitching role. I bring up all that to say because as of right now watching this game versus the Mets, he's already down 1-0. They already gave up a first-inning home run to the Metropolitans. So the Yankees are leaning on him as to be the ace. You even heard what Knight Chandler 7 said at the beginning of the season. It's like the Yankees are like one slot behind each starting pitcher. For instance, Severino would be a great number two on any team. Number one, I don't look at him as a bona fide, clear number one type of guy yet. I think he still has a lot of experience to gain. He's a number two. Like Tanaka, to me, he's a number three. Tanaka's a number three. Sabathia's a number four. And if they decide to use Lynn as a starter, he's their last starter in the rotation before you go to your bullpen and bring on your other guys like Jonathan Holder and Gray and all those other guys. But Severino, to me, is not a true number one. I put it like this. He's not an ace, a true ace. An ace gets you through the season. He's Cy Young type of guy. He may be the number one Yankee pitcher by default, but doesn't make him a bona fide ace. He had ace-like stuff in the first half of the season, but I think that goes to the point, if you listen to this podcast, the last couple of seasons where Knickerbocker Avenue has been all over Severino, or he had his doubts about him. He even talked about bringing him down to AAA to work on his mechanics because of how he lost confidence. And he's improved a lot since then, but he's quite not an ace, in my opinion. He's going to get you 7-8 innings, 3-4 hits worth of baseball, maybe gives up no more than 1 to 2 runs throughout the game, not necessarily early on in the game unless you settle down, whatever. But Severino, he can settle down if he gets a lot of the run support, but I don't think he's quite there. So even let's bring this up to a managerial level. So what do we think of Aaron Boone up until this point? How do we feel about him as a manager? Do we think he's pushed all the right buttons? I think there was a game earlier this season where we thought he showed a little of his rookie-ness. He showed, I guess you could say, rookie struggles early on in the season with managerial moves to the bullpen, pulling guys in the incorrect part of the game. But I think he's really settled down. I think with this rotation, now the Yankees are down 2-0. To the New York Mets, and that goes to my point again about what I said about Severino. He's had this trend of giving up early runs early on. It's something he just can't get out of the system. That slider is hanging out there right over the plate, off the corner. It's easy for the batter to pick up on the baseball, and he drives it right to center field for an RBI single by O'Neill. But, the Mets are 16 games behind in the NL East. You got to oppose your will. And I hate the Yankees have to always play this slugfest type of game versus these teams, man. I think they got to try to at least manufacture runs, have an excellent starter pitcher. So they're going up against, I think they're going up against Steven Matz in this game. The guy that gave up the early run, home run early on, I think, to Rosario. Got to calm down on that, man. This is what my whole point when I say on this episode, they have got to not scoreboard chase or standards chase. Just fine tune what you got. Work on your craft. Work on your starting pitching. Get your bullpen back up the par, especially the back end of the bullpen. And then, of course, try to hit for average. At least, guys. Especially going into September as we get into October, because as of right now, because this is where this is the big picture. This is about all those teams in the AL West. And I said this early on social media. It's a damn shame that a first-place team like the Cleveland Indians, who had a decent season, not a great season, but a decent season, but they play in a terrible division, they would be in fourth place in the AL West. They would be in fourth place in the AL West by record. And I say all I have to say is because they will avoid the wild card game because they are a division leader. And 66 wins up until this point in the middle of August, and you're a double-digit lead in the division. That's really, really a disservice, an injustice, a sports injustice of who should get a bye and who should get the wild card or who should play in the first round. This division crap is really, really boggles my mind in all sports, but just looking at it from a baseball perspective, it should be no way the New York Yankees 30 games over 500. If they keep up this pace, they win out and get the wild card. There is no way they should play the wild card versus, let's say, who's in the lead of the wild card. Is it the Oakland Athletics in the AL West? You got the Astros leading the division. Athletics are right behind them. So the Yankees would play the Athletics. Win or go home into the playoffs. And if things were to stand right now, the Yankees, I don't think they would play the Red Sox. I think they would probably play the Cleveland Indians. No, I think they would play the Red Sox because the Red Sox are the best record. They probably would play the Astros, and Cleveland would get Boston. I think that's how that works. So the Yankees would have to go through Houston and then go through Boston en route for a championship. And that's definitely a tough road, and that's definitely tough knowing that Yankees had the better record than Houston if this was the hold up. I think that's really where my gripe is with this system, man. I really do. So how I feel about Brett Gardner, he's had some good hits, he has some clutch hits, and it stays with me as far as how I feel about him as a player, because he's never going to be that guy at this point of his career, especially to get you over at least 280 and up, 300. I mean, I really would love all my leadoff hitters to be 300 and above. But it's everything else that he brings to the table. He's an excellent base runner. He's a guy that he has a great anticipation of when the ball gets off the bat. He knows when to round the bases, round second, to third, or go to third, or take that third from home. He understands when it's about to be a double, and he knows when to turn on the jets to go home. He has an excellent glove, a reliable glove out there in left field, or some days when he does play center, whenever Aaron Hicks is not playing. So Brett Gardner is a guy I really believe he has a great value outside of his batting at the plate. He'll get on base, but he's a strike. He strikes out often. He's kind of like almost a home run or bust type of guy at the plate. So, he has Giancarlo Stanton behind him now in the lineup for the next better part of the month. It'll be interesting to see how that's going to go, where they put Aaron Judge to get him back into the lineup. Will they put him lower in the lineup? Will they bat him third? We're coming off that wrist. That's going to be real interesting. It really all depends, man, how they see this. I think it's going to be a trial by error, because right now, the way they forecast the stats and advanced analytics and stuff, they kind of like this power-hitting type of guy in the number two hole to jump start your inning. Maybe you could get a plus on a home run, so... We shall see, man. This episode, I'm going to conclude it like this, man. So, Chapman, get your stuff together. Britton, get your stuff together. Sonny Gray, you definitely need to get your stuff together, man. The live looking versus the Mets. The Mets are up 2-0. Actually, DeGrom is on the mound, not Steven Matz. So, DeGrom is pitching. So, you're already climbing or skating uphill already versus the team. They got one of their best pitchers, Syndergaard, DeGrom, whether, either or. Going up against them tonight. So the key in this game on Monday, you've got to get DeGrom out of the game, because he's an excellent type of guy, a pitcher with excellent stuff off the plate against righty hitters as well, even lefties, but definitely more so on righties, man. This episode of the Yankees Podcast, the Dugout, BleedBlueShow.com is on our website. So check it out, iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. DeGrom just walked Stanton, so we got a runner on base. So we'll be back next Monday for another episode of the Yankees Podcast, The Dugout. Check out Die Hard Fan Part Deuce or 2.0. I look forward to talking that on the 2.0 version of that, per se. Also, the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum this week, Giants episode going into preseason game number 2 versus the Detroit Lions in Detroit, but also focusing on the defensive line. We're going to talk all the squads rest of the week as well in the NBA. And, of course, our thoughts on the divisions in the NFL. Sangria su, ladies and gentlemen, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.